Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He is Brian Anderson. Hello, BA. How are you?
Well, Brian. Hello, fellas. How is the morning after draft day, first day of the draft?
It's all good.
Jeff, give me a grade. Yeah,
it's all good. BA, the city looked good. Draft went well. Roger was good. Everything went well. Yeah. Browns got a player.
Yeah, the city looked great. I was so fortunate. When the draft date came out, you know it's going to start on a Thursday, and you're like, we're going to have a night game, and, you know, I'll be able to try to keep track of it on my iPad during our game, but that kind of stinks because it's in Cleveland this year. Well, then our schedule comes out, and we have a day game. So it was awesome. Got to get up early, do a day game yesterday, and then make it home, fire up the smoker, put some ribs on there, and then sit back and watch the draft. And, yeah, the city looked great. The cutaway shots going to commercial looked fantastic. Looked like the weather got out of there just in time. So, yeah, it was an awesome night for the city. And, yeah, I love the pick. I love the pick. I didn't know that, you're thinking maybe rush end or linebacker. I mean, there were a lot of different ways they could go, but I've heard really, really good things about, Gregory Newsom II. And so I guess you can never have enough defensive backs, not only in the system that the Browns run, but the game of football now. It's so pass heavy, you need guys to cover.
Is Brian Anderson wearing a Browns jersey while he's watching down in Florida?
No, I was not wearing a Browns jersey. I'm not even going to tell you what I was wearing. I was actually wearing a shirt. I'm wearing a Browns shirt right now, by the way, at the gym, Powerhouse Gym in Tampa. And I was wearing my Browns cufflinks yesterday that got them on the air during our game. I had all the Browns stuff going yesterday. But the shirt that I was wearing last night during the draft was a shirt that was made for me. And it was just a plain white T-shirt with drunk Tom Brady on it. It was that picture of the backup quarterback holding up Tom with that grin on his face that we've all had before, and it was my drunk Tom Brady shirt for the draft. It was fantastic.
That's so
Tom,
funny.
Tom got a great pass on that, BA. You know, it was like, hey, look at Tom Brady. He's drunk.
You know why? Yeah, and you know why? Because for the last 20 years, I shouldn't say 20 years, but once he became Tom Brady, that guy, everybody has looked at him as if he was a robot. Like, this guy has no personality. He's just a robot. So to see him in a state that most of us have all been in at one time or another, people are like, look, he's human. He bleeds. He got drunk. And that picture will live on forever.
That's great.
Did you think they were going corner last night? Did you think they were going edge rush? Did you think they were going linebacker? I your perspective on, you know, did they – I just think the Browns, like, did the right thing last night. They didn't trade up. They didn't trade down. And they got a position in need.
Yeah, I didn't. I did not think that they would be going corner. I think that my first thought was edge rusher. And then I thought, well, perhaps there's a special linebacker out there with cover skills and still can help in the run. And I know that the linebacking position is not a huge position for the Browns because they run that 4-2-5. You know, they want those three safeties out there where one of them basically, you know, acts as if he's a linebacker, like a hybrid type guy. Those were my first two. And then I thought, well, and then maybe after that, best available defensive back, because, you know, it is such a pass happy league and it's such an important position, in the defense that the Browns run. And so I had heard, you know, good things about Gregory Newsom. I, of course, being a Northwestern guy and you know, watching a lot of Big Ten football, I knew about him from that, too, and knew that he was, you know, highly coveted, sought after, maybe not the best of the bunch. You know, I think he was ranked by Pro Football Focus as the number three cornerback behind Horn and Surtain Jr., but still, you know, a highly regarded player. So when they made that pick, I was like, okay. And they know better than we do, and maybe they're looking at the fact that maybe Greedy Williams, that shoulder, that nerve issue is going to be a problem. You know, Denzel Ward has shown the ability to land on the injured list from time to time. So, you know, this is perfect insurance, and it just adds another really good cover guy that, from what I've read about him, you know, can play all different types of coverages. He can play off coverage. He can play press man, zone, whatever the Browns want to do, he can do that. So, yeah, I was actually, after it happened and the dust settled, like, I really, really like that pick. And, again, a lot of that has to do, too, with trusting Andrew Berry because he's kind of earned it.
You know, Brian, as a professional athlete, you know this more than any of us. In his press conference last night, he said, hey, if I wasn't the number one pick, I was going to have a chip on my shoulder, even if they took me number two. And I end up coming to Cleveland. Well, good. I have a chip on my shoulder, and that's exactly where I'm supposed to be because I'm the best corner in this draft. And I heard all that, and I thought, well, that's outstanding. I like a confident guy, and he certainly sounds confident.
Yeah, no, I mean, you have to love that. You know, you want the confidence. You don't want that to bleed over into being cocky or arrogant, but you want that confidence with that low-grade burn that he has to be the best and to prove that he's the best. So then all of a sudden you start to incorporate work ethic. That being said, did you guys get a chance to see the moment that he received the phone call?
I didn't see that.
I watched that this morning. Yes.
No, I didn't see
it. Yeah, I saw that this morning too, and felt it was the coolest thing because he takes the phone call, has to tell everybody to quiet down. He takes the phone call, he hangs up, and he said, Cleveland, it's Cleveland. And so, and when he announced that, the place went berserk. That reaction for Cleveland, I thought that the first thought that I had, would that have been the reaction a couple of years ago? Probably not. But realizing what a great situation Cleveland is now, I absolutely got a thrill out of the reaction of all his family and friends. That just lets you know that the team is thought of in a very positive light. That was really awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I watched that this morning, and we were just like, I was like, God, this is really cool. And you really, especially because you could hear the other end, too. You could hear the Browns, the assistant from the Browns that was talking to him, teeing up the phone call so that he'd have a chance to talk to the coach. And yeah, that was interesting. What do you think of the draft as a whole? I mean, quarterbacks up top, you know, a couple of surprises here, a little trade there. What do you think of the draft as a whole?
You know, I think that the as a whole, it was intriguing because – I think everybody nailed one and two, and then the draft kind of started at pick three with San Francisco. You know, I never really bought into Mac Jones to San Francisco, but I also didn't think, you know, Trey Lance. And everybody, you know, says, okay, well, listen, they've got Jimmy Garoppolo. By the way, how's that quarterback room going to feel? I mean, Garoppolo knows he's dead man walking. So how in the world is that dynamic going to work, number one? But then, you know, on top of that, You've got Trey Lance. You're like, well, listen, he doesn't have to play right away. He's kind of raw, North Dakota State, let Jimmy Garoppolo play a year, and then he steps in, except for this. My man already has only played one game in the last 2 years. So you're going to sit another year and then go out and start in the NFL in 2022 when you've played one game in 2.5 years, literally 2.5 years? Is that going to be very good for him? You know, especially because he is, you know, kind of a raw prospect-type quarterback. I don't know how that's going to work. You feel like they're going to have to play him just because he hasn't played. You know, someone on the radio this morning made an interesting observation. They're like, Trey Lance has had more pro days in 2021 than games played in 2020. And I'm like, that is so true. He played one game last year and hasn't played since 19. So, you know, that was an interesting part of the draft. And then how about how it worked out for Belichick and the Patriots, where they didn't have to give up a thing. They just sat there at 15 and got what will probably turn out to be a really good quarterback for Belichick. So I overall, it was fun to watch, you know, and very intriguing after that pick. And of course, it was awesome that I had to wait so long. We had to wait so long for the Browns to pick. But at the same time, it was like, come on, get there. I got to get to sleep. Kids are waking up early tomorrow.
BA, I need baseball perspective. Logan Allen, yes. Great for the Indians in spring training, wins a spot in the rotation, comes up not quite as sharp as he needs to be. They send him out to the alternate camp to work on a few things. What does a guy take out of that experience, and what does he go work on? What does he have to do?
Well, I think it's really simple with Logan Allen, and I think Terry Francona, when he was talking about the decision to send him out, was very succinct and to the point, and it's quite simple. Fastball command. You know, everything starts with fastball command. And command for some guys is not going to be like it is for others. You know, the more velocity you have, command not quite as important. You can get away with more mistakes the more velocity you have. But if your fastball command is consistently poor, these guys will find a way to get the barrel to the baseball. And if they do that, you're obviously in a whole lot of trouble. So I think that that's a very simple fix. Is it something mechanical? Is it maybe trying to overthrow? Only he knows what it is, and the Indians and the coaching staff know what that is. But it's time to get to the alternate site and get your delivery fixed to the point where it's repeatable. And once your delivery is repeatable, that's going to allow you to get to a consistent release point. And once you get to a consistent release point, now all of a sudden the ball will go where it's supposed to go more times than not. And that's what he's going to have to do if he wants to get back to the big leagues in a timely manner.
All right, BA, this is a question I've been sitting on waiting to talk to you about all week. Madison Bumgarner, 7-inning no-hitter. Is it a no-hitter
yes.
or not?
Yes.
I think
it's not
too.
A no-hitter. No, you know what? Here's the thing. Yes, it's a no-hitter. I mean, he threw a complete game no-hitter. It should not count in the record books as a major league no-hitter. You can put it in there as a no-hitter with the asterisk, a 7-inning no-hitter. Just like they talk about it in Triple-A. When we would play down in Triple-A and have a doubleheader, and you'd occasionally see a no-hitter or hear about a no-hitter in Triple-A, and it was like, yeah, but it was a 7-inning no-hitter. It was kind of put aside because it's not the same. I mean, the whole thing about the no-hitter that makes it different for me, and yes, again, he threw a no-hitter, but the difference between a real 9-inning no-hitter and the 7-inning no-hitter is if you're watching a guy like tonight pitch a game, when do you really start to get into, hey, man, he may do this? After the sixth, a couple outs into the seventh? You know, I mean, that's when the drama starts to build. You get through 7 innings, and it's like, oh, boy, 6 more outs. He may be able to do this. Where's the drama in a 7-inning no-hitter? Hey, guys, he hasn't given a no-hitter up. He hasn't given a hit up through four. Let's go. He may do this. I mean, there's no drama buildup. It's not the same. It's still a great accomplishment. Shoot, I never threw a 7-inning no-hitter. So, yeah, I mean, it's a wonderful accomplishment. But at the end of the day, there's a reason why in the early 90s that Major League Baseball said, okay, here is what constitutes a no-hitter. And it's, you know, it's 9 innings. You have to go 9 innings. So, yes, a no-hitter on one hand, but it should have an asterisk next to it because it's not a true Major League 9-inning no-hitter. There is a difference.
B.A., I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but around here, we start counting after a half an inning. If you get 3 outs, 3 and 3 down in the first. I mean, it's only been since 1981 since we've seen even sniffed anything close on our side of the ball.
Well, hey, listen, that we had a game the other night where I was like, Dwayne, have we had a 1-2-3 inning? I mean, we were in the seventh inning, and there were 4 or 5 base runners an inning, not 4 or 5 base runners, but at least 4 or 5 guys were going to hit. Every half inning, it was the most mind-numbing, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about. But, yeah, it is sad, though, to be celebrating a 1-2-3 first. That's not where you want to be, especially with the pitchers the Indians have.
It'd be nice if that streak ended with another perfect game. I'll take that. Maybe we can get Beaver to do that. All right, yeah. BA, we're out of time. What do you want the Browns to do tonight?
Yeah, you know what? I don't care. Listen, they can go in almost any direction that they want to go. I'm just interested to sit back and see what they prioritize, who falls to them, who's there. You'd like to see maybe a little bit more on the defensive line, another edge guy that they can rotate in and develop over the next year or two. But more than anything, I'm just anxious to to attempt to call our game while I follow the draft on my iPad.
All right, B.A., you can
awesome.
Do that. All right, priorities, we'll talk to you next
boys,
week.
Priorities.
I'll be looking for anybody from Nebraska for you over the next 2 days. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, you know what? There's not enough days in the draft.
Goodbye, PA. We'll talk to you later.
See you, Bry.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.